Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. A huge amount to talk about from right across Europe today. In particular, of course, Bayern Munich getting knocked out of the German Cup. We'll be focusing on that a little later on. But for now, let's welcome in Craig Burley to the studio, Jurgen Klinsmann and Frank Leboeuf also with us as we kick things off in the Premier League. A couple of games today. Manchester City with a 1-0 victory over Brighton, moving them up to third in the table. They are now 4 points off United, with a game in hand. Meanwhile, we'll kick off the discussion by talking about Spurs against Fulham.
Oh, hallelujah.
Why?
Well, this is one of the first times I'm not going to start a show where you say to me, so you're wrong about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Well, you know, that is a trending theme at the moment.
And then I have to rubbish you. And then
well, you didn't really rubbish me. You did admit that you were wrong about it yesterday. Spurs won, Fulham won is how it would finish. Harry Kane opening the score in the first half. Cavalero then with a nice equaliser for Fulham, and we have seen this time and time again with Spurs.
Listen, I have no sympathy for Tottenham at the moment. I've got sympathy for the supporters in a sense, if I can be sympathetic, but when I talked about them against Liverpool, where they played a defensive game at Anfield, but they were a big threat on the counter, created some great chances. Bergwijn should have had himself a couple of goals in the second half. I don't mind that kind of approach. You're playing Liverpool, you're away. I have got no sympathy for a Tottenham side who could have gone, I think, third tonight, who could have put a bit more pressure on, and they're at home against a team in the bottom three, albeit a team that started the season terribly and have started to improve a little bit by little bit. But after scoring a great goal, and I mean a great goal with that Reguilón cross and the Harry Kane header, to allow a team struggling against relegation to dominate you in the second half, to let them get on the front foot, to let them get some confidence, I think is inexcusable from the manager. I mean, I really do. How many Fulham players, and they're all hard-working young guys, and they're all in the Premier League, some of them from the first time, how many of them would get into that Spurs side? How many? And yet, once again, Spurs are allowing teams, Mourinho is allowing teams to keep themselves in the game and give themselves a chance to get on the front foot and get an equaliser and potentially get a winner. I think it's really unacceptable from the manager to be approaching games, particularly against sides that are weaker in the Premier League. I get it against Man City and Liverpool and these sides. I just don't get it against teams that you could go and you could really pressurise them and you could kill the game off. I don't understand it.
Jurgen, how do you explain that? You know, Spurs were good in the first half. They had chances to extend their lead. Then they come out after the break and they just look a shell of themselves.
Well, how do you explain that? First of all, you know, it would have been great if they scored two or three goals in the first half. They had the chances. Son had two almost 100% chances. Harry Kane had another good one. If you put them in, then it's a totally different story. Obviously, it's all about consistency. And if you want to win the title in the Premier League, you got to be consistent and you got to put those type of games away. And then, unfortunately, they didn't do that today. Unfortunately, they let Fulham back into the game. You got to give them credit as well. They played a very, very tough game. They gave everything they had. But that's what to expect because they fight relegation. So once they scored the equalizer, they even, you know, try to go for a winner there. So it's a lost, for Spurs, absolutely lost opportunity to catch up with the top two. Unfortunately, that's the way it went.
Frank, the only time Spurs did anything in the second half, really, of note, was when Fulham got the equaliser. It was like the kick up the backside they needed to get them back into life. But you think, come on, you know, you're supposed to be a team that we talked about being a title contender just a month ago. Why can't you take a stranglehold on these sides? Why can't you finish them off?
Well, simply because, you know, they have one option normally. It's to play counter-attack. And meaning playing counter-attack is... It's in fact that you don't own the ball, you leave the ball to the others and you run after the ball. And Guardiola just made an interview saying that they've been struggling, Manchester City, because they didn't have the ball and they were running after the ball and they were getting tired. As Jurgen said, I think Tottenham had many, many chances in the first half and they would have scored, it would have been another story. But because you run after the ball, and I think Fulham did very well keeping the ball and making Spurs running, they got tired, And they didn't make the effort they had to do in the second half because they couldn't anymore. And that's the problem they're gonna face most of the time because they're physically not good enough. They did well in the first half, but I think Fulham, we should give credit to Fulham. I think Fulham won't be relegated if they keep on playing like that because they did very well. Cavaliero and some other players really pleased me. And Tottenham, they have to, they keep on thinking that defending well and just being counter-attack will be enough. But it won't be enough in front of teams who are well prepared. And that was the case of Fulham, who played for 90 minutes with everything they had in their guts.
I get it. It's a good little story for Fulham. And, there was all this nonsense about, the Premier League announced the game late. Ish.
Yeah, they announced it on Monday, didn't they?
And Scott Parker wasn't happy because he said, I played a full-strength team in the FA Cup. If I'd have known, but listen, it is what it is. And please spare me the details of those people out there that think this is the greatest act against Fulham because they had 2 days' notice. It's not like they got a phone call at 11 o'clock this morning and said, oh, by the way, the game's on today. So it had 48 hours' notice to play the game. It didn't affect their performance. But the story here is why Tottenham can allow teams of this calibre to be so dominant at times when I can't get my head around how they can think it's right and Mourinho thinks it's right to see that unfolding and even the players to say, look, why can't we keep the ball?
Right.
Why can't we just keep the ball for 10 minutes or so and push them back?
Craig.
Yes.
Craig, I'm sorry to cut you off. Don't. Remember Chelsea playing with Mourinho? The only way they were playing is defending well and playing counter-attack. They won the Premier League like that. I never saw any Mourinho's team playing otherwise. That's the way Mourinho likes his team to play.
No, I know, but
Spurs going to play.
Against teams in the bottom half of the league, Frank.
Against every teams.
So, I've said it for a long time, right? This style only works. So, I've been hypocritical here. It only allows you long-term success and it only appeases supporters and boards and backers when you're getting results.
Right.
If you're not getting... And I know it's not a disaster. I mean, they could still go on a run. I understand that. But what I'm saying is that there's signs that this is not a one-off. That they are allowing teams like the Wolves game. They took a lead at Molineux so early and then camped themselves in the penalty box. You're going to get caught out. And it only appeases the supporters and other people when you're getting results. When you're not getting results, if they don't get in the top four, and it's a real melee for the top four this season, I mean, it's so open, they've got a squad good enough to get in there. And if you're not going to achieve that, and that's still a big question mark, and your performances are not very pretty to watch, and you're letting teams in the bottom of the league dominate you, that's not got longevity. And then you look at the bench. I looked at the bench there. You had Dele Alli, who played against Marine at the weekend. Okay. How many? Seventh or eight divisions between them? I get that. But he's something different. Lucas Moura on the bench again. Gareth Bale on the bench. I mean, I can only imagine that Jose Mourinho didn't want Gareth Bale at the club.
Right.
It must have been a Daniel Levy. Daniel Levy must have said, here, I've got you, Gareth Bale. But why else would he not play him or even utilise him in games that he needs to win? Well, why bother? So it's saying to me that somebody said to Mourinho, I'll bring you Gareth Bale in. He's went, well, bring him in. I'm not going to play him. He sat on the bench again, isn't he? You tell me Gareth Bale can't change a game if he's fit. So why is he not getting any it's a head scratcher.
Yeah, how do you explain, Jurgen, the Gareth Bale situation? Spurs fans were so excited, weren't they? The lost son coming back to save Spurs this season, yet his impact has been minimal.
Yeah, I'm talking a lot to Spurs fans, obviously, and even my former teammates. And so it's very difficult to comprehend the Gareth Bale situation. But as Craig said, you know, if you don't put in at kind of a certain point in time, then a Lucas Moura or a Dele Alli or a Gareth, you know, it just puts up a big question mark. You know, why? Because you become too dependable on Son and on Harry Kane. You know, yeah. And I think they scored, the two of them scored 22 out of 30 goals or something. So in order to break these teams down, I mean, give again Fulham big respect for their performance today. But in order to kind of create chances and really put them on their back foot, you need creativity, you need some ideas, you need some surprising elements. And they were not on the field in the second half. There was nothing surprising coming out anymore of the Spurs game going forward. And that's why a lot of Spurs fans, you know, are just wondering, you know, what's going on with these players that are remaining, unfortunately, on the bench.
You know, Højbjerg and Sissoko have done a great job, right? They're grafters.
Yeah.
They're workers. But they're not. I mean, Sissoko will run and run in behind, and Højbjerg will protect, and he's not a great passer of the ball, so he keeps it simple. But there are times when you need players like that, and then there are games, and then there are games you don't need them as much, and then there is in-game where you don't need them. And clearly today is a game where you need less defensive players and people that can utilise possession of the ball to supply the Suns and the Harry Canes a little bit more often than just the odd counter-attack. And that's the frustration, that I would look at this Tottenham team and say, here's one of the best chances to get in the mix in a long time, because we've talked about the drop-off from City and Liverpool. The points will tell you that's factual. Here's a fantastic chance to get really in the mix, and if this Son and Kane partnership that Jürgen mentioned can manage to get through to the end of the season, who knows? I mean, I don't think it's likely, but if I was a Spurs fan, that's what I would be looking at.
Yeah.
And then now I've got the frustration of not being able to change that defensive mindset in games against teams that I think they should be bullying and dominating and really putting pressure on. If I was a Tottenham fan, that would be my frustrations.
If you're a Tottenham player, would you have similar frustrations, Frank?
Depending where I play. You know, if I'm Højbjerg and Wings or even Sissoko, I'm the leader of the game, because that's what it is right now. And that's what it shouldn't be. We should wonder why, you know, Dele Alli, Bale don't play. It's because, you know, the situation and the tactic that Mourinho puts down, it's the fact that you have to get the ball back. And who is the best in getting the ball back is Højbjerg, Wings and Sissoko. Mm. Yes, if I was a defender, I would be pleased as well, because I've got three in front of me working hard. And most of the time you don't concede goals. So I will try to keep the clean sheet. I would be frustrated if I'm Kane or Son, because how many ball do I get? You know, I saw Kane defending as well, taking tackles in the last 20 yards of his own side, which is completely abnormal, because you waste energy. And you should ask a question to Jürgen. As a striker, you know, yeah, you want to keep the energy in front of the goal. You don't want to go back and defend like crazy, like we saw Kane doing. You know, and maybe you have a lack of freshness at some point.
Yeah, this has been marked on quite a bit, hasn't it, Jürgen? The fact that Harry Kane has clearly been a key part of what's happened so far, but not necessarily as a striker, but just all over the pitch doing the dirty work for Mourinho. Does that then have repercussions going forward as well?
Well, it's a lot of load on the shoulders of Harry Kane and also of Son, if these two are by far the most dangerous players in the Spurs team. So the danger is you become predictable. So if the opponents know that it's all down to Harry and it's all down to Son, he's like, let's shut them down, let's double them right away when they get the ball, then it's too easy. You know, obviously they depend on deliveries. They depend on, I mean, to be fair, to Jose also, I mean, they had four clear chances in the first half, and if they put two in there, then the game is over. So Son has his two chances there. Harry had another one. So then we would talk maybe differently about it. But You just risk, if you play with three more defensive-minded midfielders, you just risk that there is no creative element anymore there when you really badly need it. When things maybe go wrong, when it's not going the way you want to, so then you need somebody kind of to pull the strings, a number 10 behind it, two strikers, or you know, just a connector, a really good connector that has a division between the lines that can also maybe score himself. And that's something that was missing today.
Meanwhile, Manchester City getting the job done. 1-0 victory over Brighton. It was a fun game, actually, to watch. Brighton turned up. They made City sweat at times, but in the end, the hosts thoroughly deserving of the 3 points. So, there's not much kind of say about this game, apart from penalty.
Well, I sent you upstairs. And Brighton won't want to hear, but they've heard it from multiple people. There's a lot to like about what Brighton do, apart from results. And it's a results business, but they've played some good stuff. And they're lightweight up front, but they keep the ball and they pass it well. And they were a threat. But, you know, it looked, at one point I thought, well, City is going to be a late equaliser or something here, because they've dominated the game, they've passed it well. But they're lacking, obviously, a natural front man at the moment. Jesus was on the bench, getting a rest, came on the left-hand side. There's still no Aguero. That's a worry. They need to get him back, for sure. But they've kept another clean sheet. I think it's 3 goals they've lost in the last 13 or 14 games, whatever it is. The Stones and Diaz partnership has been excellent. I like Cancelo. Maybe Walker's got more pace defensively, but Cancelo's a better footballer on the ball. The left-back position's been an issue for them for quite a while now. De Bruyne is finding his feet again. I thought he was a little slow at the start of the year. I didn't like Mahrez's performance again, but I love watching Phil Foden.
Right.
I just love watching that. And I know it was Brighton today, but I think he's got so much poise and balance and understanding of where he is on the pitch, whether to let the ball run across him or how to take a touch or how to take it away from defenders. Scored with his right foot today, we know he's predominantly left. And with performances that they've put in recently, I still think they're the favourites to win this league.
Is Phil Foden your favourite player to watch at the moment?
I enjoy watching Phil Foden. I don't have a favourite player.
Let's talk about penalties. Raheem Sterling coming off the bench, of course, and then missing the spot kick that would have made it 2-0 to seal the 3 points. And it's interesting when you take a look at Manchester City and their penalty conversion rate. It's not great, is it? Kevin De Bruyne at the head with regard to scoring penalties. And you go down to Raheem Sterling, who's now missed both of his penalties so far this season. Frank, Pep Guardiola was talking after the game about the fact that Kevin De Bruyne didn't take the penalty because he was tired. As a penalty taker, does that make sense?
It can make sense. You know, if you don't feel it, don't take it. That's what it is. It's as simple as that, you know. You can be the one who has been designated by the coach, and because you came forward and you say, okay, well, I'm ready to do it. And when you, during the game, maybe you don't feel it. And I think you have the right to change your mind and say, okay, I'm Raheem, take it because I don't feel it. And that's just fair because it's just a feeling that you have when you're a penalty taker. You're not sure about anything. I've never been sure to score every time I put the ball on the spot, you know. I had wonders, you know, but I was confident enough to go for it. But if you don't feel it, don't take it.
Frank, you've gone soft.
I agree with that.
You've gone soft. Honestly, the game has, in some aspects, the game has gone with this softly cotton wool nonsense. Frank took them at Chelsea. I took them in a FA Cup shootout at Chelsea. I took penalties for Celtic, and when I went to Derby, I took penalties, and we were in a relegation battle every year at Derby. What'd I say to Jim Smith? What'd I say to Jim? Couldn't take it today, Gaffer? I know we're 3 points off the bottom. Couldn't take it today, I was tired. We're tired in every game.
Isn't that an admirable quality to be able to admit?
Well, to let a player who's not as good at taking penalties... No, it didn't cost him today.
But to admit that, you know, I'm not 100% in this, you know, and surely that takes more guts to try and take a penalty when
you're
you don't feel it.
You're a better penalty taker than Raheem Sterling. It didn't cost Man City today, but it might have done if Brighton had gone up the other end and scored. There's a responsibility out there. But Man City have got some players that are not very good at penalties. Raheem Sterling is one of them, and Gabriel Jesus is the other. If you've seen some of his penalties recently, they've been abysmal. It's about responsibility. If that had been the final game of the season, head-to-head against Liverpool, who would have taken the penalty? Do you think Kevin De Bruyne would have said, I'm tired? No, he would not have. He'd have stood up there if he was the penalty taker, and he would have taken responsibility. So spare me this modern-day balderdash cotton wool nonsense. I'm tired. You can't take a penalty. I'm sorry.
Jürgen?
I love it. I love it, the discussion. No, I mean, obviously, if it's a penalty or if it's a free kick or whatever, you get an opportunity to take them. As a hungry player that wants to score goals, I mean, ask Cristiano Ronaldo, ask Messi.
Exactly.
They are that tired. They're not giving a ball away. They're not giving a penalty away. You know, they want to score. You know, they want to get this goal in there to their credit. It's just normal.
Last word quickly, Frank.
Yeah, Jürgen and Craig, the thing is we have viewers, you know, listening to us and our experiences, and there is a lesson about, you know, when somebody is getting the foul from the defender, we always say that don't take the penalty because you shouldn't, because it's not, you're not ready to do it. And I, it's just something fair that I'm saying, you know, yeah, if you don't feel it, don't take it.
No,
now saying that, Craig, I agree with you. I will never have given you ball to take the penalty at my place.
Frank,
never.
I'm not doing the next segment. I'm not doing the next segment. I'm tired. I'm not feeling it.
Oh, God, that'd be great. That'd be awesome.
I know, you're too much paid.
Arsenal are in action on Thursday. We'll be looking back at their clash against Crystal Palace on the next edition of the show.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Bayern Munich out of the German Cup, defeated on penalties by Bundesliga 2 side Holstein Kiel. It's the first time they've been eliminated at this stage of the competition in 20 years. Jürgen Klinsmann with us. Jürgen, what a nightmare week this has turned out to be for Bayern. Of course, losing against Borussia Mönchengladbach on Friday. And then, how did this happen?
Yeah, that's the beauty of the German Cup, a bit similar to the FA Cup in England. It's very, very prestigious. It means a lot to the people. And when there's the opportunity for a lower division club playing, you know, the first division team, and especially if you play Bayern Munich right now, the top team in the world, then you give everything you have. So it's the biggest day of your life. And I think when he put that penalty in Finn Bartels, then he will dream of that for the rest of his life. You know, this is a big deal. You know, beating Bayern Munich in a German Cup game. Obviously, it's a negative week for Bayern. A lot to think about, you know, maybe about, you know, what developed over the last couple of weeks defensively. Too many goals conceded. But for Holstein Kiel, I tell you, it's a huge, huge, huge deal. So a whole, the entire Germany will talk about the city of Kiel for the next couple of days.
Meanwhile, Jürgen, they're going to be questioning, as you mentioned, Bayern's defence. Of course, one of the worst, quite literally, in the Bundesliga. So far this campaign and torn apart today by a Bundesliga 2 side. What's changed? What's the problem to the side who was so dominant last year?
Obviously, difficult to say that from the outside. You know, you're not on the inside of the team. You don't see the training sessions. You don't see the exact, you know, fitness level and focus level of all the individual players. But there's definitely right now a bit of a lack of focus, a lack of concentration, a bit too risky in certain moments. You know, when you conceded already over the last couple of weeks too many goals, then maybe you drop it a little bit deeper. I mean, Joshua Kimmich came now back finally to the team. He had an injury and he means the world to them. So they have to kind of figure out a couple of things definitely in the training sessions. But it's surprising that they concede so many goals.
Jürgen Klinsmann, thank you very much. Just a reminder, the Bundesliga continues this weekend. It all kicks off on Friday. Union Berlin against Bayer Leverkusen. And for Bayern Munich, their next match is on Sunday as they host Freiburg. Gab, Coppa Italia then today. What for you particularly stood out?
Well, obviously, the Napoli win, great performance from Chucky Lozano. And until Osimhen comes back, he's going to be really important as alternative to Petagna. But obviously, both Juve and Inter looking ahead to that huge clash this weekend. Different approaches. I think both teams would have rather not gone and gone into extra time. Juventus, Andrea Pirlo, playing a lot of kids. That's why you saw all those high shirt numbers, all those players that you probably hadn't heard of, like Wesley and Dragusin and Rafinha, the guy who scored the winner. But in the end, I think that time off for some of their senior players, although many did have to come on, including one Cristiano Ronaldo, I think that might tip the balance a little bit, physically at least, towards Juve. From Inter's perspective, we saw Christian Eriksen starting and playing in a deeper playmaking position. I'm wondering if Conte's changing his mind, maybe realizing that, hey, it's going to be really, really difficult to sell Christian Eriksen. If we keep him around, can I get him to play a different position, perhaps Marcelo Brozovic's position? Also, Vidal, as you saw, scored the penalty, didn't do anything stupid on the pitch, didn't get himself sent off. So, all in all, a good day.
Gab Marcotti, as always, thank you very much. Full round of Italian action for you this weekend. It all starts with the Rome derby, Lazio against Roma. That's Friday, 2:45 on ESPN+. And, of course, the big game is on Sunday, Inter against Juventus. You can join us for live build-up to that match, 2 p.m. Eastern, here on Plus. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Stay tuned. Extra time is next. Craig staying with me. Frank and Gab answering your tweets. Be sure to stay with us for that. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Craig Burley with me in the studio. Gab Marcotti and Frank LaBeouf are with us as well. Craig, we've had so many tweets aimed at you. About what do you think it could be about?
It's Oscar?
Yes.
Well, to be honest with you, they're just from idiots. The season is only 17 games old.
Wait, wait, that's it. How many games must he play before you can praise or criticise a manager, Craig? 17 games are played and you still can't say a good thing about Solskjaer.
I don't think he's the best man for the job, and I don't think Man United will win the league. So, what is going to change?
What if they win the league?
Well, then we'll have to readdress that.
Yeah. Would you admit you're wrong if they win the league?
Not really. I don't think he's the best man for the job there. And
wait, he won the league, and you still can't say anything nice about it.
If he does win the league, it'll be because City and Liverpool.
No, you've got to praise him if he wins the league.
Travel. Listen, I don't think he's the best man for the job at Old Trafford. That's not going to change because of a few results.
And go on, Frank.
Hey guys, you know what? I don't know what it means. What it will mean to be the champion of the league in any league in Europe this season when we see, you know, how all championship have been, you know, moved, you know, and removed, you know, in a way that Barcelona is, I don't know, 10th in the league, you know, Manchester City started very badly. Chelsea is all over the place right now.
I don't know, Frank, I mean, it's still a league. You still win the title.
Yeah, but it's an exceptional season in many ways. That's what I mean.
But you know, history will still remember them as the winners of the league. I don't think it will come with an asterisk, will it?
Yeah, of a very bizarre season.
No, they're not going to win the league. They're not. I mean, yeah, what a bunch of despots. Who are these people? Filter them out.
Lots of them. Lots of
17 games.
Well, that was the least abusive one.
Well, give me abuse.
No, City, because then Disney will sack
City's
us.
City's going to win the league.
Good. Take Man United apart in the Carabao Cup after taking Chelsea apart. Without a striker and with a load of numpties who've been breaking COVID protocols, so the squad has been threadbare because of that, and that's their own fault. Nobody else's fault. And they still managed to take them apart. So spare me the 17 games in. This is fantastic. Oh, what happened in the Champions League? Or is that not important anymore? They got pumped out of it, right? After, you know, what did they pick up? 2 points in the last four games?
Yes. Agard Marcotti wants to say something.
Yes.
Well, I've written a whole column on this very subject.
Oh, Craig, there you go.
You can go and check out on.
Give us a synopsis.
Now, look. And by the way, Frank, Barcelona are actually third in La Liga. They're no longer 10th, but...
Yes.
I'll give you a synopsis, right, if you like. No.
Well, that's what I meant.
It's been...
Synopsis.
You guys, this is the first United team to be top of the league in January since 2013, since Sir Alex left.
Yeah, Craig.
Yep.
That has value. He succeeded in doing what Jose Mourinho, Louis van Gaal, and David Moyes failed to do. Okay, this in itself has some value. He's not embarrassing the club by going out and pretending that there's a vice captaincy so he can strip it from Pogba. He hasn't gone out and complained about signings, even though Jadon Sancho and Erling Haaland, as you will have noticed, aren't there. Even though Bruno Fernandes came 6 months late. Even though Lukaku left and wasn't replaced. And then when he was replaced, it was Odion Ighalo who showed up. He hasn't done all these things. He's always smiling, always polite. He's not embarrassing the club. He's a company man. And right now, that suits United. And operating along these lines, United are in a far better position in the league than they were under his predecessors.
There you go.
So there's progress there. There's value there. Yeah. I agree with you. It's highly unlikely that they'll win the league. But I think that already shows that approach to some degree works, right?
Because no, it doesn't approach to any degrees. Because you know, as Gabby said, it didn't happen to them since 2013. Which means that in a normal season, with a normal preparation, with no pandemic, with the fans in the crowd, they wouldn't be first, because Liverpool and Manchester City will be like 10 points ahead, like they normally do every season for the past 5 years.
Ah, it's not.
I agree the pandemic's changed a lot of things in football in Europe, Frank, but United are also dealing with a pandemic. United are the team that, you know, they have 70,000 people at Old Trafford, now all of a sudden they're not there. I mean, if your point is that we're getting some unusual results around Europe, sure, I agree. But the point is, it's a level playing field for many of these teams, certainly for the teams involved in Europe.
It's proven that it's not the same result for the same people. Of course, somebody has to be first because we have games, but it doesn't mean at some point it gets some advantages to some teams. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, I think.
Frank, if we're going to go down that road and we're going to discount everything that's happened this season, we can also pretend that United weren't knocked out of the Champions League, right?
Oh, yeah, if you can go that way, you can go that way if you want to. You know, but we can say that maybe Paris Saint-Germain wasn't ready at the beginning of the season and they catched up, you know, to finish first.
Okay.
That's it.
This is it. Last comment on this, because it's...
Yeah, well, look. He's done nothing yet, right? There's no doubt he's not in the same category as Guardiola and Klopp, right? Now, he's done well getting them to where they are, but that's because, and I repeat this, right, the other two are miles off where they've been in the last 3 years. Had at least one of them produced the same sort of consistency, Man United would be a country mile off the top. So you've got to balance that out.
Okay. Right? After Sterling's awful penalty miss, Frank or Craig, have you ever missed a penalty like that?
I've missed a penalty, yeah. I've missed penalties. Yeah. What? Like what?
Like blasting it over the bar embarrassingly high like that.
It's not embarrassing, but it can happen.
Right.
I mean, it's not embarrassing. You know, Platini, on his birthday, quarterfinal of the World Cup, on a penalty shoot against Brazil, put the ball over the bar as well. Platini, at the time, Ballon d'Or. Roberto, so it can happen to everybody.
Roberto Baggio did it. Was it a World Cup final?
I know all these other people did. This person's just asking if you ever did it.
Baresi. I think Baresi. Was Baresi, no?
I've done a whole list of penalties.
Right.
Stevie Nicol did it in a European Cup final.
What's that? Sorry?
They don't want a list of all the people who've missed penalties. They're just asking if you
The inference is that how can that happen? I mean, we've seen Bayern Munich miss penalties today. I mean, you can miss a penalty. I mean, what's happened? None of these people ever play the game. Go down the park with your mates and see if you score every penalty. Everybody's an expert now. Social media, Twitter, they're all experts. They don't want you to comment on it, but they want to comment on everything. They've never kicked a ball in their life at any decent level. Millions of them. Yeah. You can't comment on that. You can't comment on that. They never pulled the strip on.
No.
They're never in a stadium. They never played professional sport, but they want to comment on everything. Now, all of a sudden, a penalty is easy to take.
We're just asking if you missed the penalty.
Yes, I missed a penalty.
That's all he wanted to know. That was it!
And I told you before the show, Jürgen and I came on, you know, and I said to Jürgen, Craig is in a very good mood. I said,
in a good mood.
We didn't start the show.
This is not a silly question.
I'll be honest with you,
I'm sick and tired of extra time.
Gap.
I'll tell you why.
Gap.
Because we just allow Muppets to send questions. Not this one in particular. I'm not saying that's the worst question. And it's a generalisation. We're just giving a platform for absolute Muppets to ask questions. Right? That's all I'm saying.
People like asking questions. Gab, with Kulusevski...
It's a game.
Will Kulusevski continue his hot form? What do you think his ceiling will be
what
in his career?
Hot form? He was on the bench the other day.
No, he played today, didn't he?
He was on the bench for Juve in the big game at Milan.
No, but I think this season he's exceeded expectations. Yeah. People have been impressed.
No, he exceeded them well enough. He was on the bench in the game at Milan. He came off the bench and he created a goal, but he was on the bench. Pirlo saw fit to put him on the bench.
Right. Gab, what's his ceiling?
All right. he's still very, very young.
Yes, Craig.
And I think one of the things about Kulusevski is that people aren't quite sure what position he plays because he has an unusual skill set. Yes. some people see him as a wide midfielder, some people see him as a second striker. I think we'll get a better sense as he grows. But yeah, when you're that strong and you're fast and you have quick feet, the world's your oyster.
Who's likely to finish in the top four, Spurs or Leicester? Frank?
Well, I think Spurs with more experiences than Leicester to finish fourth. But, you know, Leicester can surprise everybody. And I put them at the beginning of the season in the top six, which I think I didn't put Tottenham, or maybe put them on six. So I would say Leicester.
Leicester?
Who's more likely to win the league, Tottenham or Leicester? Interesting question, possibly. Who's going to finish in the top four? Who cares?
Well, it's quite a big discussion point, isn't it?
Is it?
Top four, yes. We would see top four success for quite a lot of teams.
Well, Tottenham?
Yes.
Wow.
If Tottenham doesn't finish top four, you'll be banging on the fact that this squad is good enough to finish in the top four.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's a relevant conversation to have.
Well, we're talking about winning a title here. The title's wide open. Top four's an afterthought.
This person's allowed to ask about Spurs or Leicester. Who's going to finish in the top four?
I'm not saying you're not allowed to ask. You can ask till the cows come home. I'm just not particularly interested.
Let's talk titles then, Gab. Can Roma challenge for the title this season?
I think a ton of things would
yes
have to
fall
into place.
Yes or no, I've been told by the producer.
Yes, they can. How's that?
Steve.
Well done, Gab.
I don't know why.
You've got to be Italian to answer these questions.
Steve, you're jealous I didn't ask you the question?
No, I know. I've no interest in asking it, but you know, they get upset sometimes when you start talking about
what
Italian
people?
Football.
Stevie, do you... I don't know.
Who's Stevie?
I don't know. Do you think the game is going soft? Do you think they need to punish players for diving or allow a bit more physicality?
Don't look at me. My name's not Stevie.
Well, I don't know. Who wants to answer that? Frank?
Yes. Well, I'm fed up to see players, you know, falling down for nothing, not being even touched, you know. Honesty doesn't pay.
Okay.
And I can agree that you can exaggerate it, but not falling for nothing.
When you put the question out earlier, did you put Stevie's name on there?
No.
Right, okay. I rest my case.
Well, all right, okay. That is it.
I rest my case.
But you might think, oh, that's it. Now you can all go home. No, we've got so much more to record. Just me and Craig. Ah, it's going to be a fantastic hour. Thank you very much. We'll be back here tomorrow. Sebi will be here. Arsenal Crystal Palace will be the discussion point.